May the fourth round be with you. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Hooters has been our presenting sponsor for 9 of our 10 seasons. I thank them from the bottom of my heart. They pay for this podcast so you don't have to. Specific to the original Hooters brand, visit originalhooters.com for all their locations in the greater Tampa Bay / West Central Florida area. More locations to come. Easy online ordering there. Hours of operation. Hooters has done so much for us, and we sincerely appreciate their sponsorship via joebucksfan.com. My email is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com for your fantasy questions. The previous 3 podcasts previewed rounds 1, 2, 3 based on projected ADP from current data as of August 18th, the afternoon, thousands of mock drafts compiled by fantasyfootballcalculator.com, free service, you can look at it. The specs we gave for the league were a 12-team half-point PPR league. No other unique circumstances. This is not based on my settings. I play standard. I tweak some of the scoring elements to reflect the game we watch on the field. But I use the hedge here, and I want information that you can connect to based on some of the likely settings in your league and the way you play. So if you missed any of previewing the first, second, and third round, those podcasts are there for you. Go back and listen to them because there are players in those podcasts who might be available in your fourth round. They might, and they might be a very good value for you in the fourth round. Based off the data available to us at the time of this broadcast, this is the fourth round available, but I'm going to bring in some other elements and an additional fantasy mock draft that was done recently by some of the Roto World Fantasy Life people connected to Matthew Berry and the show on Peacock that I enjoy. The Matthew Berry Fantasy Football Happy Hour, they reviewed this draft last Friday, August 15th, with a lot of talented people. The most talented, I think, is Patrick Doherty. So let me just go through, because I have a lot here, and I want to present it to you without leaving anything out. Also, is it fair to say, once we get to the fourth round, what you take might be on need, more so than any other round. You do whatever the hell you want in round 1. You can still do whatever the hell you want in round 2. Round 3 may be somewhat based on need, but I think it's only really based on need if you haven't taken a running back, if you haven't taken a wide receiver, if you want a franchise quarterback and any are still there. If you're in a mandatory tight end league, maybe you're starting to think about one of those. I don't play mandatory tight end leagues, but I'm going to make what I think is a valid point as I bring up the tight end position for the first time this week as I've previewed round by round. So based on the data we're using to preview by round, here are picks 37 through 48 based on ADP that we have used for the previous 3 podcasts. So here's what the fourth round would look like based on that data. Omarion Hampton, then DK Metcalf, then Chuba Hubbard, then Brock Bowers, then Jalen Hurts, then Terry McLaurin, Trey McBride, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Breece Hall. Again, you're welcome. For those of you still not willing to give me credit for all the things I told you about not taking Breece Hall as your RB2 or 3 last year with a top 5 pick, you're welcome. Breece Hall this year, ADP 45. Garrett Wilson, George Kittle, apologize for my phone. I'm still selling a golf tournament, Todd Wright Tour 52. Then George Wilson, sorry. Not the coach who preceded Don Shula with the Dolphins. Garrett Wilson, so back-to-back Jets. George Kittle, DJ Moore. That's 37 through 48 based on the ADP on fantasyfootballcalculator.com. Quick thoughts. Omarion Hampton. It looks like the most likely threat to Hampton's workload in one of the top run-based offenses in the NFL is not going to be available for the first four games, and that's Najee Harris. So that impacts Hampton's value significantly. There are other RBs there. The Chargers may bring in somebody else. We're not sure as of the time of this broadcast where Brian Robinson Jr. is going to be playing football this year. Because as of the time of this broadcast, it sure don't look like it's going to be Washington. So Hampton as a value, as a starting running back value at ADP 37, first pick of the fourth round of a 12-team league, in a run-based offense, draft capital there from the Chargers used to get him in the first place. It's understandable. And you're probably taking him to be your second running back, right? You probably already got one in the third round. You weren't like me last year when I waited and I got James Cook in round four. Was it round four or round five? The Roto World Fantasy Life draft had Hampton going off the board at 33. So that speaks to the value, and that Matthew Berry made Hampton his ride or die. Granted, that's before the Chargers lost Slater, arguably their best offensive lineman. So I have to like the Hampton value at ADP 37. I do. There's too much there that says, yeah, he's going to get work. And there's too many people out there who feel he's going to be worth the touches from a non-fantasy standpoint in the NFL. DK Metcalf changing teams, going from Seattle to Pittsburgh. Lot of variables here. Now, Metcalf last year in Seattle, top 25 in the NFL in receiving yards. Highest to not get to 1,000 receiving yards last year in the league. And this is not just wide receivers. This is everybody. 992 yards receiving, 15 yards per catch, 5 touchdowns. Is Aaron Rodgers going to like DK Metcalf? Is DK Metcalf going to like Aaron Rodgers? We introduced the Arthur Smith factor. Remember, you hated him in Atlanta. I sure did. He's the play caller in Pittsburgh. Traditionally a conservative type offense. What does Rodgers have left? DK in a new place. Still playing in cold and wet. Nothing different there. He's on natural grass now as opposed to turf for half the season. A lot of questions, but a talented player who we know can put up numbers. Fourth round, where did he go? He went back end of the fourth round, which was also a 12-team draft in the Fantasy Life Roto World draft talked about on Peacock on the Fantasy Football Happy Hour last Friday. He went 48th. So there's just, yeah, fourth round feels like the spot for DK Metcalf. If you have a need for a starting wide receiver, that's someone you can consider there. Probably not earlier than the fourth round. Our ADP 39, based on fantasy football calculator data, is Chuba Hubbard. There's nothing really exciting about this pick, but you know how we talked earlier about Nico Collins doesn't get enough run because of where he plays. Brian Thomas Jr. doesn't get enough run because of where he plays. Chuba Hubbard doesn't get enough run because of where he plays. Carolina, you don't watch these games. You don't. But you're looking for fantasy value. And Dave Canales has always been, you know, as Greg Roman, Jim Harbaugh, and the Chargers are run, run, run. Canales is pretty close with how he wants to run the ball. Even when it's not working, he wants to wear down that defense. There's ulterior motives for running the ball. One of them is to play physical, to wear down your opponent for later in the game, to set up other things. There were other running backs brought into Carolina this year as they cast away Miles Sanders in a good move. But it still sure looks like Hubbard. This is clearly the first spot a Panther is coming off the board, despite excitement about the rookie at wide receiver. So if you're looking for an RB2 in the fourth round, he's a candidate. I don't think this is an RB1 guy. And you may not want to draft a third running back in the fourth round as a bench player. You may want to fill another spot. But I can understand Hubbard here. This is probably about the highest I see him going, though. 39 may be a touch high, but it might be a need-based pick for you anyway. Now, here's what's interesting. So the specs I put in, 12-team, half-point PPR. And I didn't say tight ends not mandatory, like my league. And it spit out Brock Bowers at 40. So this is the first tight end off the board based on the mock draft data of thousands of mock drafts that Bowers is going 40th. And almost everyone's league plays mandatory tight end. Mine plays wide receiver tight end flex. Bowers at 40 seems really low to me, and you know how I feel about tight ends because of this simple fact. Bowers last year was eighth in the NFL in receiving yards, tied with CeeDee Lamb. The only guys who had more receiving yards than Brock Bowers were Chase, Jefferson, Thomas, London, ARSB, Jerry Jeudy, and Malik Nabers. Bowers scored 5 touchdowns on a bad team. Averaged 10.7 yards per reception. Wow. So, hang on. Is that per reception or is that per something? It's got to be per reception. See if I can pull up more stats on that. That is, yes, per reception. At least for right now, because we're living in the present. We're not saying Bowers is Travis Kelce. We're not. 5 touchdowns is too low. But I always evaluated Travis Kelce, and I've owned him as such, even though I'm anti-tight end, in a non-mandatory tight end league where you only play a tight end if he's worth it, if he's starting wide receiver material in terms of his production, Bowers is that. And can things get any worse for him? Granted, he's going into year 2. We always worry about year 2. He's got Chip Kelly as his offensive coordinator. That's the highest paid offensive coordinator in the National Football League. Doesn't mean he's the best, but it sure doesn't mean he sucks. just won a national championship at Ohio State and is one of many head coaches just not dealing with bullshit these days. Just let me call plays. Just let me do what I'm good at. And I kind of respect that. He's got Geno Smith at quarterback. That's better than what they had. And the defense now has to, at least at the beginning, care about Genty out of the backfield. Are you really worried about losing yardage to Ashton Genty? You may lose some, but I don't know that Genty hurts Bowers as much as he may help him. Where defenses, as the season went on, were like, okay, make sure, and normally, right, safeties paying attention to tight ends. Is that safety really going to be in the box worried about Genty rather than Bowers? And if so, Bowers can benefit. So I think Bowers here seems really low because he can give you wide receiver one-ish value. I think in most of your drafts, Bowers is not going to be around until the fourth round. I'm surprised he is here based on the specs not devaluing tight ends and saying you don't have to play them. Jalen Hurts is next. And Matthew Berry made this point on last Friday's Fantasy Football Happy Hour. If you're going out to get one of the top quarterbacks, why are you not considering Jalen Hurts? What is it about Jalen Hurts that turns people away? And not for just from a fantasy standpoint, but when they're talking about the best quarterbacks in the NFL, why is Jalen Hurts not one of the top few names that they mention? Do they not want to give him credit for what he does? And he just won a Super Bowl, and he's the first quarterback to lose a Super Bowl and actually get back to the Super Bowl and win it since John Elway. As Matthew Berry also said, the tush push isn't banned. Granted, we have an offensive lineman injury at the guard position we're keeping an eye on. Barkley's already been there. We've kind of seen that play out. We've looked at Hurts' stats, carries inside the five. A.J. Brown is still there. Devontae Smith is still there. The offensive coordinator didn't leave for a head coaching job. Why is this there this hesitation not to believe in Jalen Hurts? So when I see, we talked about how the third round was the run on quarterbacks, which actually started in the second round. So this draft, mock draft data has Jalen Hurts ADP 41, fifth quarterback off the board, behind in order Jackson, Josh, Burrow, Jaden, then Hurts. Hurts went 38th, second pick of the fourth round in the Roto-World Fantasy Life draft they talked about on Peacock last Friday. It's good value. It's very good value on Jalen Hurts. 52, Terry McLaurin. I think Washington has to get this done. Here's why. New ownership, right? New GM, new head coach, new franchise quarterback, make a run to the conference title game. You're trying to show we're not Daniel Snyder's Washington team anymore, right? For all the people soured by it, that's the whole idea. You botch the McLaurin deal, you really hurt yourself. And it could hurt you with future players holding on to them and bringing them in down the road. It sends the wrong message if you don't get this done. That said, what do you do? If by the time of your fantasy draft, McLaurin isn't signed, isn't traded, I don't think he's as good somewhere else. I really don't. This is one of those, again, I'm the one who goes against the trend. If he is traded, he's a wide receiver one going to some other team, and automatically you seem to downplay his fantasy value. I think he's best where he is. With Daniels. With Kingsbury. Things seem to be changing in the running game in Washington as we speak. McLaurin, you know, in previous years, would this be around the spot you would have been taking him because you didn't know how good Jaden Daniels was going to be, but you knew McLaurin was the best that Washington had? It's very interesting. His yardage last year, 1,096. More than Cortland Sutton, more than A.J. Brown, more than Devontae Adams. 13 touchdowns. Only Ja'Marr Chase had more touchdowns receiving. McLaurin had even more than Amon-Ra St. Brown. Washington has to get this deal done. Has to. It's a risk if he's not signed. But it's a hell of a value if you can get him here in the fourth round. And it's funny that Trey McBride is going next because McBride doesn't score. We've talked about this in a previous podcast. And as we talked about in the previous podcast, there are people who look at fantasy players who don't score and they just throw out this phrase, he's due for a breakout. Yeah, and I'm due for Leah Michelle to knock on my door wearing just a trench coat and high heels. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. And the data says it's not. Some players score touchdowns, and some players don't. And Trey McBride doesn't. You looking for a guy to score touchdowns with the Cardinals? It's Connor, and it's Harrison. It's not McBride. McBride's yardage says he's wide receiver 1/2 worthy. His inability to score touchdowns would drive me crazy. JSN is next based on fantasy football calculator data as of today. Fourth round, 44th overall. He went 30th in the Fantasy Life Roto World draft last, they talked about on Peacock last Friday. And Mike Clay took him in the fourth round of the ESPN draft. I am, as Travis Birkenstock would say, two thumbs up, fine family fun on Jackson Smith and Jigba. Breece Hall, ADP 45. No thanks. Same questions I have about him from last year are there this year? Sure, he's a better value at 45 than he was at 2, 3, 4, or 5. But I don't see it. I don't want it. He's a Jet. Yeah. Garrett Wilson's next. Garrett Wilson did put up 1,100 yards receiving last year, 7 touchdowns. Can Justin Fields get him the ball? A lot of questions there on Garrett Wilson. And a really good player. Hopefully we're going to know just how good Garrett Wilson is when he doesn't play for the New York Jets anymore. George Kittle is next. So third tight end to come up. Based on the mock draft data from fantasyfootballcalculator.com, Kittle had 1,100 yards last year, 8 touchdowns, 24 yards less receiving than JSN, just 40 yards receiving less than Trey McBride. Yet Kittle scored 8 touchdowns. So here you go. Why would you take Trey McBride over George Kittle? Anybody want to answer me that? Why? I could nitpick some injury reasons or whatever. Debo is no longer in San Francisco. I still have questions about McCaffrey's workload. Who's Brock Purdy going to throw to when he really needs to throw to somebody? It's Kittle. He can deliver you wide receiver 1/2 value. He has big games. He's used in the red zone. He's an exclamation point. 100 times out of 100, I take him over McBride. And I'm in a non-mandatory tight end league. But Kittle could be one of my three starting pass catchers. And the last one is DJ Moore. Interesting, he's 48th for our purposes of our preview based on the data in the Roto World Fantasy Life Draft. They talked about last Friday on the Matthew Berry Fantasy Football Happy Hour and Peacock. He went 43rd. He has Caleb Williams now. He has Ben Johnson now. He was just outside the top 20, 25 in receiving last year. Just short of 1,000 yards. It's a pretty good situation for him in Chicago. I'm not saying it automatically delivers you wide receiver 2 value, but based on others around him, and you get the Ben Johnson effect, that might be something you'd be interested in. All right, so there's round 4 with a bunch of other elements included. By the way, if you were to tell me Jameson Williams finished just behind Nico Collins, how about this? Here's 3 wide receivers last year who just got over 1,000 yards. In order, Nico 1,006, Mike Evans 1,004, Jameson Williams 1,001. Those big plays. And yeah, DK and DJ Moore were just below that. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.